I got an 8-month granddaughter, so I'm busy all the time. All right. Good
talking to you. Hey.
Yeah, this, you know, the fire trucks just pulled out next door. I thought of you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they had sirens. Yeah,
I tried to do it in the last of the banner, but say, things to come.
All right, folks, we'll get started at 6 o'clock, and we are going to be missing our Laura Shell heading into a very busy holiday weekend at the marina. We gave her a pass, and Debbie Ladyman's mother has had a fall or injured her back and is not going to be able to come. So this is what you got. Thanks for spending the beginning of your holiday weekend with us, and looking forward to the start of a safe, productive, fun season. Boy, we couldn't have asked for better weather. One other quick note, I would ask you to give a little round of applause for our newly married lake manager. Adam, show your ring. Beautiful ceremony, and it's official. So now when we have trouble with him, we go through Darcy. With all that, let's look at the approval of the minutes from the last meeting, April 26th. Anybody have any problems with them, corrections, etc.?
Move approval.
Second. Okay, moved and seconded that we approve those April 26th.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I just pulled it up.
Okay.
Dredging study group, the prices that we made, the only addition that I have is that we're going to look at that every year.
Okay.
That's not something that's set in stone. We're going to look at that every year. That's
okay. Okay,
thank you. Sorry to interrupt you.
Can you add that, Andrew?
Yeah. Friendly amendment, agreed.
Okay, moved and seconded as amended. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. On to, are you ready for your trade?
No, I'm getting there,
You're
yes, ma'am.
You're getting there? Would you like me to switch?
No, I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm ready.
I can give you a switch if you want.
I'm ready. Thank you for that. All okay.
Right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. Let's see. April, we're talking about April financials. Total income $25,251.23, as you guys saw on your board in your board packet. And expenses $29,000. So we're still kind of in the red, but it's coming. So, you know, obviously it's going to be tough to keep up, but we're getting there. I saw nothing that raised a flag in the month of April, so I would entertain a motion to approve the financials for April.
I'll make that motion. Second.
All in favor, designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
On to the manager's report. Adam.
All right. First off, we have, I guess, Andrew is not a new employee. He's been over 3 months interning full-time since school got out, which was the 5th of May. Andrew is interning for the operations supervisor position, and then we'll be filling into that role if all goes well. Once he's done with the internship at the end of summer, and would you like to give a little spiel?
Sure. My name's Andrew. I'm studying environmental management at the School of Public Environmental Affairs at IU. Two more classes this summer, and then I'll have my degree. Looking forward to working with you all at Lake Lemon.
Andrew also looking at potentially going to grad school at IU and this via RIDA too, so that may work out pretty well to keep him around and help him out while he's going to school. And I went to grad school the whole time. I worked out here for the first 3 years essentially, so thank you, Andrew, for having me on board.
Adam?
Yes.
Now, he's looking to move into the operations supervisor's position that we have available?
Yes, yeah. But we will be keeping, it will be hourly since he came on late and he's interning now, so keep hourly. Yes.
Okay. Because I think we talked about somebody having heavy machinery experience in that position, machinery maintenance and things like that.
Yeah, so. We have talked about that. But I really need somebody that can do, I mean, some of the office side as well. So I think ultimately we'll have to have two positions if we're going to bring on a full-time dredging operator. Because as far as the office work and the environmental work, I kind of need somebody with that. So
really, are you going to be working in the office, or are you going to be, as an operations supervisor, are you going to be out in the field managing the dredging, for example?
He's not an operator. The operator the supervisor position is really in charge of the park operations, and the staff there is the way it's written. They're not operators, equipment operators.
Okay. Okay. I just would like to just, I guess, kind of go on record that before we make a final decision on a on an operations supervisor, that we look at a job description that has heavy machinery operator, machinery maintenance, and things like that. Possibly rename, what is your name, sir?
Andrew.
Andrew's position to something else, park supervisor.
Well, that's why the operations supervisor has been written.
That's
that
how
we have
written.
Now. So, yeah, so it's not written as an operator. So maybe we could add on an additional position that would be a full-time equipment operator position.
Okay.
Yeah, but, and I think I would just put my two cents worth in to say, I think we probably need to review all the job descriptions.
Absolutely.
And update them appropriately to yeah. your point, Mike, because okay. we need to look at what our needs are on a more
because they're changing.
Broader,
right. And as we, I think we discussed last year when James left, you just kind of come, you know, and don't hate me, you know, for asking questions. You know, we talked about a temporary position to working in the office and taking care of the park. I mean, you know, Michael can speak on this better than anybody. I mean, he's in charge of Carmel Parks and Recreation, my God. And so, you know, go ahead and tell me what you would foresee in a position that someone would be in the office taking care of the parks. You'd be the perfect guy to write a job description for that.
And maybe so, that's yeah. something
absolutely happy to do. And I mean, the good thing is with this particular position, it has the clarification of intern, which in of itself implies that it's a temporary situation. So,
right.
But yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to help and weigh in and give feedback and maybe look at titles that more closely mirror what the responsibilities are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as we look at the budget too, I mean, I would love to bring on a full-time salary equipment operator, but I do need somebody else. I can't be the only full-time.
There's no question on that. So, there is yeah. absolutely no question on you need yeah, some help in the office. So,
well, like
so,
I say about everything right now, we're a work in progress. Yeah. That seems to be my mantra, but it's true. I mean, a lot of things are changing.
Adam, just to refresh my memory now, the other Andrew. You're also an intern?
Andrew A, Andrew B.
He's fulfilling his internship. He's been working with us for 2 years, mostly yeah. in the gatehouse, but he's fulfilling an internship now, so he's helping out as well.
Okay, because I was saying, so then basically you have two interns now.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty much done by almost done my internship.
Pardon me, what?
I'm almost done my internship at this point.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you're going to keep working then?
Yeah.
Or?
So he's hired as a gatehouse, but he's fulfilling his school internship.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
And what could work out perfect, too, is if Andrew ends up going to grad school here, then we'd keep him as an hourly part-time. So we'd still have a lot of those funds from that
yeah.
position available.
Okay.
Money is not the question here. It's the description. It's the description, I think, that I have. So, and if I remember right, he didn't take one of your classes.
He did not.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure that I remember that correctly. You might want to look at that schedule again.
Sign up for.
Well, we just talked about once.
WADZ.
Next up, we have barge operations. We have to date moved just over 1,800 cubic yards. We are just under, probably about a week of digging days from finishing that channel heading east of west. Then we'll be moving in to the next channel, north-south and Chipwood area. So that's been going pretty good. We also finished up on Wednesday all the debris removal at the end of the Long Causeway. So that East Bay now is clear of large debris. And in that corner has all been picked up now. Vegetation control.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Sorry. East Bay, is that the Hobson, Doc Miller? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. At the east end of the Long Causeway.
East Bay, and you were finished Wednesday?
Yes.
I've got to take just a little bit from what Les sent you today on an email, and it's like today, there were no barge operations today.
Yeah, the barge is down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to have some kind of notification because, as his email said, and I couldn't have said it any better, rumors are just flying that I've got 95 people in my district,
yeah.
and 50 of them live in Chipwood. And so I went over there today, and the barge is sitting, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So you wrote a great email on that subject, and I don't want to take your thunder, but
just an observation.
We just need more communication on, and whether it's Andrew or somebody sending something out that the barge is down, and that would be perfect, because we talked about the barges, one barge being out every day, one barge, and today would have been a perfect day to have one barge out.
With little hydraulic hose. So
okay, so if we could, if
should
we
be
could
back
just,
up and running next week.
Yeah. Okay. So
maybe to Mike and Les's point, maybe we do need to, when something stops it from happening, we just need an email to all freeholders.
Quick one.
Just a quick email.
Valve, whatever.
Until we come up with some other ways to communicate more instantaneously.
Yeah, and I should be sending out, just send something to Mike. I guess I'm a little hesitant every time we have a hiccup to email the entire freeholder database about the
I think the board, and then we can field the calls that we're.
I'm okay with the board. I'm okay with the board.
If you just
Then when somebody says something, you'd be like, "Well, no, here's the fix."
Absolutely.
Because at this point, I didn't know.
I thought you were going to take off on this, but the 6 hours a day and the 4 hours a day and the things like that. I mean, those. Would you mind just addressing those real quickly so that we can address them?
Yeah, I haven't heard about it down in my area. They're not even dredging there, but
they may be in Chitwood for 4 plus or probably plus half hours. But I mean, in the morning time, just filling up equipment, drive around the lake, getting everything loaded, about 45-minute commute time. So actual work time in Chitwood probably is 4 hours per day. By the time you're riding that out, we're upwards of 7 plus hours. So if we want to go back for a second load, we'd be pushing, 10, 12-hour day.
So they work 8 hours?
Yeah, right around 8 hours. We get a full barge load. I mean, sometimes they're done in 7, sometimes they're done in 8.5.
So is there any merit to doing 4-10s? And then, mobilization time is sort of inefficient.
I don't think you could do 4-10s. We could look into that. By the time you get back and then you're digging again, I mean, if you have another 4 hours of digging and you're already at a 7-hour day, I mean, between the transport and everything else, then you're looking at a lot more than 10, and then we'll be back with why we out on Friday. Essentially one barge load a day is what we can get.
Can they start earlier?
I mean, they're starting early.
What time?
I mean, generally they're between 7 and 8 o'clock.
Okay. Because they don't get into the channel until 10.
Yeah.
No. Okay. No. All right. Well, I just, again, I want to compliment Les on his email, because I thought I was the only one getting the bulk.
Did you send that to the whole board, Les?
Yeah.
Okay. No. And
I sent it to whoever was on the thing for the newsletter. Because I was suggesting it would be good to have a regular update in that newsletter so people know the facts.
And we can do that, Les, but when we get to the part about talking about the newsletter isn't going to come out every single month.
Oh, okay.
It will during the summer, which would probably solve most of this. But and we can certainly include what we know in there, but that's not going to solve when somebody gets up on a Friday and goes, "Where are they?"
And
if you have questions, I mean, just call the office. I mean, operations stuff.
I don't have a problem with doing that, Adam. It would be every day.
Yeah.
I don't think that's appropriate to call you every day and say, why aren't they there yet, or why are they over there? Why are they on that side of the, I don't think that's appropriate, but. I'm looking for some middle ground. I'm looking for some middle ground where if there's a deviation from protocol, then we get an email or a text. That would be appropriate to me. Deviate from what the scope of work is, then we should be notified, because that's when, there's a lot of people that stay home over there in Chitwood, and they who are they going to call? They're not calling Pam.
No.
you know, they're calling me. So that's what I would appreciate. I thought I had one more. So last month you were moving east, and that channel is completed. That east channel, that east-west channel.
We're almost completed with that.
Almost completed. Yes, yeah. Okay. And we've got a breakdown right now.
Yes. Yeah.
And Mr. Spaulding talked to me today, and he said that he's talked to you. Roger Edwards is going to remove his dock, and that you're looking to go down that channel Tuesday.
When we're finished with that east-west channel.
Okay. All right. So that's
a lot of this operational stuff. Just give me a call.
Okay. I guess that's where we're at. I'm going to have to call you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Now you were on a honeymoon, or you were getting married, and that I wasn't going to bother you. For sure, wasn't going to bother you during that period. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Next. All right. Vegetation control. We do have the vegetation control lined up for next Thursday. I should have a map out Monday for what we're going to be treating. Everything's pretty late this year due to all the rain and the late spring that we had, or the spring that we didn't have really, as far as the vegetation growth. So it's really starting to pop up with the milfoil and the curly pond weed. So that is scheduled for next Thursday, which I believe is the 30th. But next Thursday, they'll be out there to treat. Next up, we have resolution 51803. Last month, we had Chris Francis come to the board with a petition to add a property parcel to the Conservancy District. That was approved and voted on. So next steps are actually creating a resolution that will be given to the court to file. The total cost for everything will probably be about $1,500, and we will be billing that to Chris Francis. So we'll send him an invoice and collect the check prior to any of the processing. That way we can either cash a check when we're done, or we can look at reiterating the costs on that. So if there's not any discussion on that, or if there is discussion.
And that was all drafted by our attorney.
This was all drafted by the attorney, yes.
I would move approval of resolution 41803 for annexation of the Chris Francis property.
It's actually 51803, just.
Oh, yes, you're right.
If I could, before you make that motion, I think you answered the question about taxes, that would be an automatic, okay. Because even the Polling's property has now entered into the Conservancy, because their property was on the other side of the railroad tracks in my district. They sold that 16 acres, and now their residence sits in the Conservancy District, and I think they got a new tax bill to reflect their house now being in the Conservancy. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Michael, you made a motion.
Yep, nope. And whatever the appropriate number is, I'm not sure.
05-1803.
And I'll second it if you have not.
Thank you. And any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor of this resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Adam, can I backtrack very quickly on the weed treatment for benefit of our public? Are there any restrictions on this one? I always forget which ones.
No, there's not. There's no contact restrictions on the chemicals that we use.
Thank you.
Any issue with the irrigations?
They say no. I always, when we send out the letter, I always caution people to irrigate from the water on the day of treatment. They claim it will not affect. It's pretty targeted. But in the email that we send out, we will tell them to be cautious of irrigating the day of chemical application.
Thank you. All right, Mary Jane, your turn.
Okay.
Strategic Planning Committee.
We had our last meeting on May 11th, and I'm going to, in a moment, hand this over to Frank Van Overmeeren to give the update on from the Lake Health Task Group. Let it suffice to say that we were all very excited with the outcome of the May 4th boat tour with the Shrewsbury staff. So with that, I'm going to let Frank come up and talk about what they discovered on that and go from there.
Okay. For the audio record, Frank Van Overmeeren, part of the Lake Health Task Group. At the March 2018 LLCD board meeting, a preliminary design contract for the sediment management project was awarded to Shrewsbury and Associates of Indianapolis, Indiana, who also has a branch office in Bloomington, Indiana. This phase of the project to be done this year includes identifying the top three recommended sediment management options, including all the regulatory requirements that we have to deal with and cost estimates. It'll include meetings with their respective regulatory agencies and preparation of preliminary design documents that we need to obtain future funding for the project. So our goal by essentially the end of the summer is to know where we're going to be going in the future plan for this project. What's gone on since we had the March meeting? Shrewsbury's already gone through and previously reviewed all the prepared studies that have been done by other organizations, other entities, other technical material. They've gone through and done some other depth studies and extrapolation studies to address depth of the deltas that we have. Part of that is shown in this diagram that we've got up on the screen. We passed out to the board. There's a few more here for some of the freeholders that want to see those. This is kind of a working document of what we've got going on so far. Not all of the information that we have going on is on this document. There is some that is off of this map, and there are some that is in some private lands that are owned privately that we're not showing at this point in time. And I'll go over some of these things here in a minute. As Mary Jane pointed out, we did have a boat tour with the Shrewsbury people and their environmental consultant, their specialist for that, on the 4th. And this is essentially the summary of that information. Malcolm has an additional piece of information that's not shown on this edition that's been added in. And as I mentioned, we have some other pieces that are outside of the boundaries of this individual map. But you can see here that we're starting to identify several different aspects of what the plan is, which is essentially try and move the sediment management fields as far east as possible. We are looking to open up the old channel system that used to feed into the lake as we can get farther and farther within the Conservancy District property. That will in turn slow down the water on a 365-day basis all around and substantially slow down the water under our heavy rainfall periods. That gives us then the opportunity to divert and catch more sediment in areas that have already started to fill up to become wetlands and accelerate their growth of those wetland fields farther east than what they're doing now. Right now, we're seeing some of that being grown, but most of the delta is grown in the open water area that we see on this diagram. And I'll talk about that a little later when we get into the public comment area, but we've essentially lost half of that boating area as not being a safe boating area because of the growth of the delta. So as you can see, we've got over a dozen different areas of where we're thinking that we can collect and deposit sediment. After we get past the regulatory group meeting, which is scheduled for June 4th, the number one challenge is going to be dealing with where we put the sediment. Once we determine what the rules are and how the rules are to be followed, that will be our number one challenge. The environmental consultant has told us at this point in time that she believes that we should, right from the start, propose that anything that's within the original 1,650-acre footprint of the lake is up for grabs for us to go through and deal with in the manner that we can without mitigation and regulation. That is lake water for the purpose of watershed, and propose it that way. And that essentially eliminates lots of the regulation. We have regulations of where we put the sediment and how we put the sediment, but gives us essentially more of an open book on how we deal with that. The hardwood areas that we'd see in this map, we would probably leave because they would be cost ineffective to try and reestablish those areas. The softwood areas, the shrubbery areas, the marshy areas are what we would be looking towards adapting and creating sediment management fields to create collection depository areas for collecting the sediment out of the body of the water to where we can maintain free and open boating. So our goal is to get it as far east as we can. So as I mentioned, that meeting is scheduled for the 4th of June. After that, they will be presenting their draft report to the Lake Health Task Group on the 13th. That group, Malcolm, myself, and Adam will be reviewing that. We will be having a conference call with them to review our quick questions to the group on that Friday in the early afternoon, right prior to our strategic planning committee meeting, which is later in that afternoon on Friday the 15th. So we're rapidly moving along, trying to keep on our schedule so we can get all of this accomplished in the summertime. Then ultimately, we're looking to have the final report prepared and ready at the very end of the summer, and ultimately we propose to the board to have a large public freeholders meeting like we did last year on Saturday, August 25th, and then we'd have the ability for the board to present the three different options, the recommendations, and have discussion about what we're going to do. So those are the major high points of that. Just to outline some of the things on this map, if you pick up, and I know you can't read from what you see there because it's hard to read the fine print, but ultimately in the big box that's in the top left corner, you'll note there's a couple narrative statements in there. The first covers the fact that we believe that going out of the box, we're going to propose to the Corps of Engineers that we utilize the entire original lake basin of 1,650 acres and deal with that. So that's the first piece. Second piece is that we have the meeting on the 4th. The third piece is Malcolm working with the grants and funding group to deal with how we pay for all of this. Then lastly is just a piece that we want to start to get public on. And that fact is realistically, we started out of the 1,650 acre lake, and we're now down to 1,400 acres. And we are that rapidly. It took decades to get where we are now, but we are more rapidly. This is an exponential thing. If you look at where the sediment line is and the delta line is in the open basin of water there, you will notice this year where Adam is going to end up putting marker buoys probably tomorrow, start some, and then replace them as we get more marker buoys in. We are more than 100 yards further east than we were last year. We have gained depth of that delta in height to where there is less water, and it has crept out farther, making an unsafe boating area in that area. So that's an important fact. To address some of that, we already have more than a dozen different areas to put sediment. As an example, the train trestle area by Shuffle Creek. One of the proposed ideas could be to go through and put a culvert underneath the trestle to take water from further south, to move it further north towards the lake, and build a giant wall of dirt. Rock basins on either side to the north and south, and fill in underneath the train trestle so we don't have issues with the structural foundation support of that, and fill all that in with dirt as a place to put dirt. So that's just one of the dozen plus areas that we're looking at to go through. Other examples include, for example, going through on the South Shore Causeway and going out approximately 100 feet and creating a rock wall paralleling South Shore, which is crumbling and eroding into the lake now, and make that wider. And we potentially, with that kind of arrangement and what we do and how we do that, creates opportunities for fishing, which creates opportunities for Malcolm and his group to get grants to create fishing opportunities. So again, we're trying to look at both where we can get rid of sediment and where we can get grant options. So ends my report. Any questions?
Thank you.
Very nice job, Frank.
Questions? Public as well, if you have questions for Frank, please.
I will be giving similar presentations every month until we get to the August meeting. So we will have the same kind of updated discussion, 5-10 minutes, every meeting until we get to August.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay, thank you.
Frank, will you be at the June 4th meeting as well?
That is up for the board to decide.
Okay. I haven't been around for the last meeting. I didn't know what
that was my question, actually.
As of now, it's me and Hannah will be there.
It's just the two of us. Okay. I missed a couple steps there. Okay.
No, that was my question, actually. Who is going to the meeting to represent the board on June 4th?
What we were told is that the regulatory folks work better when there are fewer people.
That's true.
Okay.
And
so three people or not a few people?
Well, it was at first it was just going to be Adam, and none of us thought that was a good idea, including Adam. And then it was Pam as board chair. Uh-huh. So I don't know. I don't have an objection.
Well,
I'm not.
And here's my point. Your committee has asked Frank to stand up and give us non-technical terms in boilerplate language, things that we can understand. I understood everything he said. I took notes. Why wouldn't we have a technical expert like Frank represent us and come back and give us that kind of non-technical language so that we understand it, just like you did.
What if we start this way? How about if we start with Adam and I will go, and I will take copious notes, and then we will gel with you to see how all this might be disseminated.
I think so. The other piece of this is our other technical expert is our lake manager, and he is a member of the Lake Health Task Group. So I don't personally have an objection to Frank attending that meeting.
Does Adam have an objection?
No, I mean, we're going to have a lot of regulatory agencies, though, so we'll have to see how many people are out there. I think the manager and I think a voting member of the board is more than adequate.
And it was actually Shrewsbury, wasn't it, that said keep it small, keep it very simple.
So what's the, after the meeting's over, what's the prep? What do we want to walk away with after that meeting? In other words, what's the purpose of it?
The initial purpose is to tell them what we want to accomplish and then have them disseminate to us what they think will be possible within what we want to accomplish.
And then what they're going to want to see next, and Malcolm and I know this from the meeting we went to this afternoon, that they're not going to say, yes, you can do this, but they're going to say, I like this and I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come back with a plan.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, I don't have the impression that decisions are going to get made in this meeting.
I don't either.
Essentially guided through the options that we've had.
They're the regulators, and they're going to behave as if they own the lake, as all regulators in all businesses usually do. We've hired, the other piece of this is we've hired Shrewsbury to represent
I remember Shrewsbury standing right there at the podium saying that they had experience in talking to all of these regulatory agencies and that they should know ahead of time what the answer is going to be once they tell them this is our plan of action. What do you think the possibility is since we were a water supply lake and that we were 1,650 acres, now down to 1,400 acres, that they're going to allow us to go back and reclaim some of our lake. Does anyone have an answer for that?
Frank?
Why are we going back to Frank?
Well, again, he raised his hand.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank.
That is a good point.
Thank you. This is my point.
Well, no, he raised his hand.
Okay, I didn't see him raise his hand, I apologize. This is a passionate thing for me
but we had the same conversation, or at least I did, and the answer that Rochelle gave, the environmental consultant that Shrewsbury has, is that essentially the regulatory group is in conflict to one another.
Yes.
The Corps of Engineers, they want water. They want as much water as they can get.
Right. It's gold.
Right. So on the flip side, DNR wants fishery. So they want fishing. And then you have IDEM and others who want to deal with wetlands. So you have a natural conflict amongst them, and you essentially were counting on Shrewsbury to strategically work towards pitting them against each other and allowing the Corps of Engineers, who has the highest power and the highest ownership regulatory of the lake, to take control over that. And that's essentially coming out of the chute going to be the philosophy.
We have no clue what the regulators are going to say until we get out there. They're different from job to job to job.
I think that having a guy of Frank's experience with his engineering background and the knowledge that he has already come forth and shown us in half a dozen meetings that can come back, Madam Chair, no offense.
I'm none taken.
But he can come back, copious notes or whatever, he can come back to us and say, here's what was projected, here's what was said, and I'll get it. But I don't know if I'll get it if we only send one person of the board, is what I'm going to say. Even if you sent me, I would take Frank with me. I think that I would like for the board to really seriously think about this. That we need, what did I write down? We need a technical specialist, because when we say expert, then the lawyers can tear apart an expert, but a technical specialist with his background to represent our board and come back to tell us in non-technical language. And that's what I'm asking.
Is your background water and environment, Frank?
Water, yes, but not environment.
So you are offended that I'm asking him to...
I'm a technical... I think there's a potential conflict of interest if we have non-voting members to come out and view all options on the table.
Before.
But we have to tell them what we want to do, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So we have all the options.
Isn't this why we hired Shrewsbury? Aren't they the people who are going to...
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my point. Who is going to be there that's in the best position to explain in Dick and Jane language, well, maybe they don't like Dick and Jane language, whatever it takes, so they understand what we want. Who is the best person to go to do that?
I have potentially a compromise that I suggest. Shrewsbury is the one that said as little people as possible. So maybe Adam, who is our point of contact to deal with Shrewsbury, ask him the question and say, is three people too many, or is two?
No, and I think that's fine.
And then if it is two, then I would propose that after Adam and Pam have the meeting, that the three of us
sit
potentially have a conference call
that's
right after it, after it, that evening kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we can discuss it so it's fresh in everybody's head, and we can make meeting minutes that augment what Shrewsbury does to meeting minutes, their piece of the meeting. And go forward. If they say three people, then I'm happy to go, and we'll go and be the boards. But let Shrewsbury advise us which it is, and then we have two plans based upon what their decision is. And maybe that would meet everybody's
needs. Is that satisfactory?
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing we could do, if they say no, and this might help all of us, me included, I can attempt to tape that meeting so that if I get home and say, oh no, I mean, I'm not sure how well that will work.
The regulatory people, I can tell you, are not going to like that.
It's not going to happen.
They will give you the least,
I don't want to
least
say
gray
that Adam
answers
is not,
as possible.
Yeah. I'll just take good notes.
I hope I didn't say that Adam is not a technical specialist. He is. But it always, two heads are always better than one.
I don't disagree.
And crew resource management is one of the
as Frank's suggested.
I'm okay if Frank's okay with it.
Go back to Shrewsbury. If they don't think three is too many, then Frank, you're going to the meeting if you're available. What I don't want to have happen is for the meeting to be delayed. But I like the compromise that the three of you would talk immediately following the meeting.
I want to go on record with this is, you know, at least Frank would be in the meeting. Not that Adam wouldn't ask it or Pam, you wouldn't ask it, but he would think of something outside the box, as he's been telling us as coming to these meetings as your spokesperson from your committee, from your Lake Health Task Group. What is this, his sixth time that he's been telling us how the things are going? And I'm excited about the direction that the committee is going. So that's what I want to leave with.
You know, I don't want you to think I'm trying to keep anybody from doing anything, because I'm not, because that's how it sounds right now, Mike.
How it feels.
I think Frank has done a phenomenal job. I think everybody on the board as well as the SPC thinks that. And I think there are others on the committee who are doing a fantastic job.
Well, if Malcolm was available, yes, I'm sorry.
I think people are doing a great job, and everybody cares a great deal about what we're doing. That's wonderful. That doesn't mean that people just start to, you know, we don't make assumptions, and we're in a little bit of a tricky situation going before the regulators when we haven't done that. And so we want to make sure we do it right. If Shrewsbury thinks three people is fine, that's fine.
I'm good with that.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. The Financial Management Task Group, most of it, and had a meeting this afternoon with Shrewsbury to begin the conversation about the grant process, as Frank mentioned in his discussion, and they are going to come up with some very creative ways for us to look at getting grant money. Apparently, and I don't want to get into a whole long thing because we haven't really had time to prepare a report, but apparently back in the 1970s and the 80s, a lot of study was done of our watershed, and it ate up a great deal of grant money that would normally have, would be available to us, that's no longer available. So what Blake Wilson said today is that he's going to have to get his people to think more outside the box, and he has had some good ideas, and you guys are going to meet again when, Malcolm?
That's not determined yet, but it'll be
but in the next week or two.
Right,
next
it'll be after the...
After the regulatory meeting to talk about that. But we had a good discussion, and I think they're very committed to helping us get secure other grants and other kinds of funding. And we'll have a fuller report at the June board meeting. I sent the board members the draft of the first newsletter, and I want to thank everybody for your comments. We know, number one, that it's a long newsletter. It's a little longer than I think we wanted it to be, but since we haven't had one for a long time and we have a big story to tell right now, I'm inclined to say let's go with it. And then if there's some things in this particular edition that I think we will repeat in various forms in the next couple of newsletters, just to continue to get the message across. But I'd like to hear any other comments or pushback on that.
I thought it was the most well done piece Lake Lemon has had. I mean, it's taking us into another, it needs some cleanup, but it's taking us to another level as far as communications. Kathy
has done the lion's share of the work on it, yeah. And I couldn't be more pleased.
It's a super, super start, and I think it's only going to go forward and get better.
So yes. How many, if we were to print it, how many pages is it right now?
No one's printed it.
Yeah.
Maybe four.
Three, four, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to do kind of a big one for starters and then roll back as we get into it more. But, I mean, I do agree. I mean, people are so busy and it's long and, you know, either that or put all the important stuff first because they may not get to the last page.
So, and that's one thing that we could do is reorder it, I think. We, as luck would have it, have a meeting tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and we can talk about it then, about paring it down a little bit, or, and certainly about reordering it. Because I think the big news, in my mind, is Lake Health.
Yeah.
Followed closely by charitable giving and our fundraising efforts.
Yeah.
And upcoming events.
And upcoming events. In fact, what Kathy had told me is that she thinks there's a way to make that into the events piece into a little box at the top.
Excellent.
So.
And I think the long-term solution, like my suggestion was, and I think it's a wonderful piece, and I really commend Kathy and the team for putting together. It's mm-hmm. a leaps and bounds and improvement in the communication that we're going to have to the freeholders. So I really appreciate that and the work that went into it. I think the articles and types of things that are in there are a nice blend of informative items about important things we're doing, as well as some nice, for lack of a better term, feel good or fun stories that tell a bit about the history of the lake and the people that make the lake. So I really like that. And then I think ultimately if we can get to the point where, you know, we sort of have the blurbs and then have a link that gives to the full story down the road. And like I said, in my suggestions, if it doesn't happen this time, I think it's still a huge improvement. People will greatly appreciate it. But then I think that helps for those that are the speed readers and just want a highlight of things, it gives them that opportunity. And those of us that maybe want to dig deeper, it also provides that opportunity. So I mean, like I said, that may not be feasible for this round, but I think that should be the goal that we move to.
So, Mike, are you kind of thinking about, okay, so there's an email and topic number one, sort of a headline. Mm-hmm. And then if you want more info, you click on that one?
Yeah, sort of like basically, like some of them were multiple paragraphs.
Yeah.
So you have like it condensed in a paragraph for more, click here, and then it takes
exactly.
you to
So if it's
to
a
the
topic field. You're interested in.
We will look into that because that was actually a suggestion that I made. We're learning constant contact.
Exactly. And
well.
That's what I figured. It's a learning tool. So I don't want to take anything away from the great work that was done. So.
Okay.
And I'd rather see it go out than delay it and while we're trying to learn the tool even better.
Yeah. Okay. The other thing that I should say is, as of last week, 199 people had signed up for Constant Contact. Our original mailing list is like 250,
yeah,
260, something like that.
That's pretty good.
So that is quite good. But what we're going to have to do is dual publish. We're going to have to use the old list and Constant Contact because we can't just cut people off from getting information, although it means that some people will get duplicate information as we go through this transition.
Better that than the leave them out.
And I would make sure on the old format, I mean, obviously we give the here's how you register, and this format will be going away.
Yes.
On X date, so that they know this mechanism is going away. If
yes.
you want to keep in touch, make sure you sign up.
And one of the things I would say to board members is, I don't know if you have this issue in your districts. I do. I happen to have three or four people in my district who don't use email. So we're going to have to do some hard copies for distribution, and if you need that, call Adam. Okay.
will the newsletter, well, version of it also be available on the website?
Yeah, we can link it to the website.
We will link it there.
Okay. Of course, if you don't do email, you can link to the website, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's,
but we'll still
have a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the charitable giving front, we are, I believe, Ann and I would agree that perhaps both the Bloomington and Monroe County Foundation and the Brown County Foundation have voted this week, and the Lake Lemon Enhancement Funds should be live on both sites. So we'll be doing some more promotion around that in the coming weeks. And we are also talking, at our last fundraiser meeting, we talked about doing a fundraiser on September 15th for the lake, and we're going to be working on planning that tomorrow. Details to follow quickly. And we're also, Malcolm very kindly updated the yard signs, and we're bringing the yard signs back for the summer meetings, and he also had some smaller signs, you can see them over there, done to promote the Freeholder Picnic, which will be following the June 23rd. Is it?
I don't remember.
It is. That's at the end of June.
I just realized the date isn't actually on there.
The June
meeting will be the Freeholder Picnic, and we're trying to encourage more people to come to that picnic and have a chance to get to know everybody and to informally get information about what the Conservancy is working on. So come, plan to stay for the picnic. The food will be better. Right?
Could that conclude your report?
Yes, ma'am.
Chair? All right, that brings us to public comment. You've all been quiet till now. Malcolm?
Nope.
You're always you're number one.
First, a question. When will we know that Brown County and Monroe County have give us the okay on the 501c3?
Brown County got pushed off till next month. We'll get voted on the 21st.
Okay.
And then
believe the 26th, this coming week, is going to be the Monroe County.
Okay, because we are holding up the newsletter so that we can have a live.
Yeah, the Monroe County one should be live.
We won't hold up the newsletter.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Monroe County
we'll,
one should
we'll
be
have
live.
To edit
we'll talk
that.
About that tomorrow, but I mean,
yeah.
We've got to figure out what to do with that. Regarding the signs, we know we have some new board members. So last year we put out yard signs at critical points around the lake, basically where large traffic is joining either North Shore or South Shore Road, showing the three summer meetings. And we have various combinations of signs there. You can see the top part says Lake London Conservancy meeting, essentially. And then the little flag sign down at the bottom can be changed. So if we weren't having the picnic,
thank
you,
Frank.
Could put up the lakelemon.org sign. But for the next one, we want to put out the freeholder picnic signs. So, you know, obviously when you put them out, think about what you're doing. Everybody should have enough. I know that Ann has the ones for District 7. Pam, have you got
I've still got mine.
You got the five? The
six.
District,
yep.
Six.
I don't.
You don't know anything
signs.
About it, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
District
okay,
6.
Okay, and I imagine.
So, Debbie, Lady,
yeah.
She'll need one. And Laura should still have hers. So.
She should still have hers.
There's a few sign holders down
I need one.
Maintenance shed as well.
I need one.
Okay, so you've got some as well.
Yeah, we have some down at the maintenance shed.
And you'd be District 4?
Well, I don't know. I think people dropped them off at Foundry.
I think they got collected
around.
Yeah.
Okay, so how should we handle this? Those that need signs for their district, talk to Adam, I guess. I bought some more frames, so we've got we can replace ones and all of that, and we've got some extra sign inserts. So should I give them to you, Adam, and then people can get them from you to set up in districts?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that.
Malcolm, do you know if Sue Miller, who left the board, did she return one to you?
I don't know.
Okay, I bet she's still got one in her garage.
She
maybe we can get
does.
Debbie to get hers. I can
okay.
email her.
All right.
Do you have any more signs?
Yes, I have four new signs.
Because I think it's been brought to my attention that Aqua Isle.
Yep. Yeah, I gave them an extra sign. They
already taken care of?
Three signs for District 7.
Perfect. You've taken care of Aqua Isle?
Mm-hmm.
She's on it.
Yeah,
yep.
Good.
All right, so I'll. If you don't know what you're doing, talk to Adam and he'll help you.
Thanks, Malcolm.
And how do we get the freeholder picnic insert? Is that
you've got them right here.
He has some here.
Okay.
In fact, I'll give them to you now.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's cool. Okay. Any other public comments?
Yeah, you need.
Frank?
Well, so you want them at intersections?
At the major intersections in your district. He's taking care of, you've got, how many signs do you have?
I'd say two for starters.
I only ever had one. And I
need
a holder.
You must need eight of them then. How many? You have any idea?
Malcolm, is that the end of your comment? Can I let Frank speak?
Sure.
Are you done?
Okay. Frank, for the record, Frank Van Omer. This is kind of lake health, but maybe just freeholder. Adam and I have been working on lake safety, lake patrol. Adam has gone through and got the patrol boat back in service again. He is commandeered our young lads over there to be our lake safety group starting this weekend, Friday.
Friday to the weekend.
Right. So unfortunately, the last couple of years, we've not been able to hire the cadets from the IU School of Law Enforcement for a variety of reasons, and they're not available this summer either, but we're using our own staff to augment that, primarily on weekends, which is a great thing. Just want to let everybody know and for the public record. Second piece of information, as I mentioned, Adam will be trying to work on getting some temporary buoys up on the shallow end where the delta is growing. More buoys are
about the middle of that bay. Yeah.
It'd have to be on both sides of the delta. I forgot to bring that up, but because people are still skiing and tubing in that area,
right.
And they
they shouldn't be.
No. We almost really need to put them right off of Reed Point.
I think so. I think that
I would say slightly east of that, so that people can come around the point, and then you got a wall of buoys.
Right.
He'll be putting up temporary ones that are kind of mismatched, old, weathered, and he has new ones on order.
We got a lot of ones on order. So
see that. And then the third piece I just want to address is that we have an older flyer of information that kind of sort of gets passed out at the guard shack when people come in. I passed out to the board. We have, there is City of Bloomington ordinance. that's been in place for a couple decades now that we have on the website. It's buried in the website, and I've created this one-page double-sided flyer. I would request that Adam and his group go through, be authorized to hand these out to people that come in and register for the day, get a boat pass, whatever, as a temporary way to get more information to everybody. Maybe our future safety patrol even hand these out to people as they're tooling around talking to people. And I would request that the communications task group be assigned of kind of updating our brochure and maybe merge these two. Or we just continue to use this, I don't care, but it's time that we update this thing.
Yeah, no, that I agree.
So, just kind of a public health. And part of Lake Health, but we didn't talk about it when we talked about the Lake Health stuff, a second piece. So you will see the safety patrol boat, and the emphasis that Adam and I have talked about is not really enforcement. It's more of, we see the police officer, we act and behave the way we're supposed to. And if we know what the information and what the rules
until
are,
until they drive away.
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
Well, and some of the right, and some of the things that are highlighted on this form, you know, it's Indiana law, and then by this ordinance, we are not supposed to be going more than 5 miles an hour while we're going through Bean Blossom Creek till we get to the lake, or within 200 feet of shore. So everybody's zooming up and down and zooming very close to shore is technically not following City of Bloomington ordinance. Not our rules.
Well, we have to enforce those. The DNR, unfortunately, since we're not a DNR, Lake will not enforce
right.
So that's kind of up to us.
So it's we'll count on these guys to be informative but not authoritative is what Adam and I have discussed. So the intent is not to be the big bully, but 99 out of 100 people will do all the things they need to do anyway. Just seeing them will help remind them to do those things. So our goal is not to be the bad guy or be the authoritative group. So.
Okay.
A question on that, though. Now, when the cadets were doing it, they had authority to at least issue a citation if you didn't have your LLCD sticker. So do these current people still have that authority?
Yeah, technically the authority lies within the conservancy district itself. Citation has never been issued because we have to go fight it in the court. We actually have to send it to the courts and then uphold it there. Since we're not COs, we can't actually write a citation without going to enforce it at the court. So generally what we'll do is give out warnings. We do have warning citations, and then we'll give them, talk about the rules and to get their passes.
The people that were writing tickets were reserve police officers, I believe. Bob Madden was a reserve police officer. Mr. Bierman was a reserve police officer. So those people could write tickets. But
I thought that there was a resolution or something that...
Yeah, we can. Right? We can write citations up to, I believe.
But I thought it was only for the Lake sticker, not all the DNR rules.
Yeah, we can't do the DNR. It's for our rules.
Okay.
After that, if we
but
do,
they're payable
them,
in Bloomington, aren't they?
To court,
they're
yes.
Payable in Bloomington.
Yes. Yeah, we would have to file them with the court each time we write one. So we would have to pay to file them with the court as well.
Oh, you have to pay?
Yeah. So we generally are out there for rules and information. And we leave the law enforcement.
How much do you have to pay?
I'm not positive. The LLCD has never written one. We let the COs write tickets.
All right.
Now, if they do come across belligerent or whatever, then do they have a radio control or radio to
call? Yeah, we have radios on the boat, yeah.
To call for DNR or for conservation?
Yeah, I mean, if they call the office, we can call the conservation.
Okay, so they have to radio the office.
Yeah.
So will we have an officer and a boat out there, a CO, conservation officer, because I noticed their boat wasn't there last year, right?
No, they've actually been using the John boats. They've been out almost every weekend day so far, mostly looking for fishing.
Okay.
They no longer use the boats that they have, and they don't store one there. There's two, they're primarily on Monroe, but they have two COs that have John boats with them.
Okay.
That do
so they will still weekends. Have be out there.
Yeah.
Now, so our guys, do our guys actually make a stop?
Yeah.
Coming in and out.
Or do they just drive around?
Who?
Our officers.
Do they have a red light on their boat?
Yeah, we have lights on the boat.
They have red lights on the boat.
I've made stops, and we do make stops for like if we see young kids on jet skis, boating. The biggest one is usually tubing and skiing without spotters on
right.
it.
Right, a lot of that.
If we see people being out of control, then yeah, we have lights on the boat, and we do pull them over to talk with them.
Okay.
Actually, made a couple people tie up their jet skis yesterday for waking boats right in front of the park.
One strategy I'll be doing security for a parking camping area for over by the track the next three nights.
Cool.
One strategy we use is we go around and we say, oh, beginning in June or June 15th, we're going to begin enforcement of stickers. So I just noticed you don't have a sticker. So you're kind of tipping people off in a friendly way. And then come June 15th, you then hand them a sheet that says, oh, come July 1, we start to write warning tickets, and I need to be taking down your boat identification that I have visualized that you don't have a sticker. And then come July 1, then you issue a warning ticket. And now you have three documents that you've at least do it. So again, most people, 99 of 100, they get the first one. And just seeing the boat, that'll put them in an active fear, and they'll get into compliance.
We generally have daily passes with us.
Yeah.
And if it's somebody that we've noticed doesn't have a pass, we'll follow them, either tell them to put it up on the dock or bring it to the office and pay for it right then. That generally works pretty good.
The whole key is non-confrontational, and most people will just succumb. But if they have a problem, they'll just call into the office.
Nobody has cash anymore. You can get the square readers and put it on your cell phone to go into an account for the LLC and just say, and do it right there on the boat.
We'll just bring it back to the office. Yeah, I don't want iPads. I don't want to collect money in the patrol boat.
And under Indiana law, we have to issue a receipt. State Board of Accounts requires that. So, it has to be approved by the State Board of Accounts. It's a little bit more complicated when you're a governmental entity.
Anybody else? All right.
Ann Arbuski, District 7. When are we going to get the solicitations for July 4th?
They should be mailed out. They have them and they're printing them. They've had the mailing list, so I would expect them to hit your mailboxes next week sometime.
Sweet. Thank you. Very good. Great. Well, we've already touched on this, but the next board meeting will start our Saturdays in the Park, June the 23rd, 10 a.m. is the meeting time, and then the picnic follows immediately after. And we target 90 minutes max for our board meetings, and we've been darn closer to 60 for a good period of time here, and that's just to give you a heads up if you can't make both. I don't have any other announcements. Anybody else? Anything I forgot? All right. With that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn and get on with our bad selves in the weekend.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you for coming. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy the weather and the water.
Hey, Mary Jane. You know, I don't think I ever got an invitation to sign up for Constant Contact. Shouldn't I have? Adam sent a mailing. A hard copy mailing?
No.
An email.
What? Where did I do that?
Oh, a few weeks ago.
I do not remember that.